study the word of Almighty God. We're going to hear my all-time favorite sermon the Lord gave me over 10 years ago now, when I was moving back to this area, when I had moved to Colorado to pastor a church that failed, and I was coming back here to preach at First Baptist Church in Cocoa Beach, and this was the message God gave me, and I've been preaching it every year since, because there's no more important message than the doctrine of Christ, than what you believe about Jesus. There's nothing more important. There's no more important thing for a church than its doctrine of Christ, its statement of faith. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you teach the people about Jesus? And that's what this is. It's made up of 7 points, 7 non-negotiable facts about the Son of God. That, of course, being one of them, that he's the Son of God. And each year, the Lord, well, he's faithful to his word. We know, we read in Acts chapter, in Hebrews 4, the word of God is living, or it's alive, it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's how you can hear something again and glean something new from it. Because the word of God, when it's preached, when you read it in your Bible, it's alive and comes to life in your spirit and energizes you. That's why there's no better place for you to be than to be a church. I know the secret. I share it with you. The day after my wife passed away, some 7 years ago, I knew where I needed to be on that next day. I needed to be in the pulpit preaching, because I know the secret, because that's where I get blessed. It would have been very, very easy, and people expected me to stay home. Why not, right? Your wife just passed away the night before. But I needed to be at church, because the power of God resides there. And when I'm in the pulpit and when I'm in church, something just spectacular happens that other pastors out here can know what I'm talking about. And many of you that sit on the other end and listen to a sermon, preach the sermon that is the Word of God and focuses on the Word of God, all that God does through that message for you. I know it. I hear it. 30 different people can all tell me that message was just for them, because that's the way the Lord works. And I need to preach this sermon as long as I live every year, lest we forget, or lest the person of Jesus Christ becomes too commonplace that you don't want to hear it again. Let's make sure that that never happens as well. Okay, this will play for a couple days. It's around almost 50 minutes. I'll probably spread it out the rest of the week. So let's get into the word. Hey, it's Wednesday night. You're invited to church tonight. We'll be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. You are cordially invited. Love to see you. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Why don't you come on by tonight at 6? If you're listening to this at night at 5:30, hey, you still got 24 minutes to turn your car, point it towards Island Community Church. Come by. You'll have a wonderful time with us in the Word, because God is doing an awesome thing at our church, and an awesome thing to those that sit under the Word of God and do what He says. Okay, let's get into this message now, the doctrine of Christ.
But you don't believe God took a body? Then keep on going. You've lost it if you don't believe that. You've lost it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God took on flesh, shed his blood because God can't bleed, and died in our place. These are the doctrines of Christ. Okay, number 4 is Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that one probably seems like a no-brainer to a lot of you. Wasn't a no-brainer to these 12 disciples. Only one of them believed that. And someone had to give it to them for them to believe it too. Am I right? See, it is a biggie, because you can't believe this on your own. You need help. You can't believe Jesus is the Son of God on your own. Someone needs to intervene and give that to you. You don't have it on your own to believe that. So if you believe that when you leave here today, you can just shout for joy that just like Peter, he's given it to you too. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? That, come on, lay it on me. Flesh and blood, meaning no man gave this to you. No pastor gave this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven." God took a body. I'm sorry. Jesus is the Son of God. Mark 3:11. Even demons, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." All right, big whoop. The demons believe. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," or Elijah. "Others say that you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ," or the Messiah. "You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Non-negotiable. Because Jesus is the Son of God. Demons know it. The Holy Spirit declares it. Angels announce it. He's not the son of another. He's the Son of God. Therefore, he's God. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Bowed a knee to him. John 20:28, called him God because he is God. And you have to know it and believe it like Peter did, because that knowledge comes from above. I can tell you all blessed day long, he's the Son of God. If you don't have the gift of faith on the inside of you, you're going to walk out here saying I was crazy. You might walk out of here saying I'm crazy anyway. I'm just someone that got struck by the power of God because I used to be a bad man and I'm not anymore. And I've decided that for the rest of my time, I'm going to be crazy for him. And if God can forgive me, then he can forgive anyone in this house. And that's good news. Paul thought, I have to correct Paul the apostle, because he thought he was chief sinner. And he's got to get behind me a little. Because I was worse than him. I was worse than him. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then Jesus calls you blessed here on this Sunday morning. Blessed. You see, when Paul caught the realization that he was blessed, what did he say? He said, "Oh, what can man do to me?" Right? He said, he invented a word. The word is hupernikeo. In English, it means we're more than conquerors. It's where the word Nike comes from. Conqueror. Huper. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He says, what? He says, there is no created thing under heaven can harm me. Right? Nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you can say here today in this church here this morning, or here on YouTube or wherever you're listening, you can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then God calls you blessed. And you're on the winning side. And you can either do two things in your life. You can either win or you can win. That's good news. Win, yeah, works, right? Works for me. You win or you win. Get your theology from the Word of God alone. All right, number 5 is Jesus Christ, or the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, died on the cross. Maybe you say, I'm crazy. Why would I even bring this up? Everyone knows that, right? No. Where's our proof of this one, though? Died on the cross? John 19:30 is our proof. Therefore, when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, Tetelestai, which in English is what, Dwayne? It is paid in full. That's what they used to write on mortgages back in the first century. They would write Tetelestai. What they'll do at the bank here today, man, they got that stamp there and it paid. And some Bibles say when he said that, it is finished. It's all done. The debt's over and finished. Jesus died on the cross. Non-negotiable. It's one of the last seven statements spoken by God the Son from the cross. It is finished. In the perfect tense, meaning it happened in the past and you still feel its effects in the future. Jesus has taken your sins and written upon them all, Tetelestai, paid in full. He died on the cross. Now, some churches believe that he was just out of breath. Liberal churches believe that. They don't believe that he died. They believe he was out of breath. He was out of breath and that he and Mary Magdalene moved to England. And that's how the Christian faith got started in England. By a bunch of crazy wackos that believe this. The Bible says that he died. That's where we get our factual truth from. Not he was out of breath, but he died. Number six on the list is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. Ought to be our statement. It is our statement of faith. To have a pastor here at this church, man, they got to swear by all of these. Otherwise, you show them the door if they don't believe in these. Okay, he was raised from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is what you need to believe, too, to enter into the family of God. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. See, what I meant to say to start this sermon, I'll say it now, I wrote it again. Deny the supernatural, and you won't gain entry into the kingdom. What did I write on here again? Deny the supernatural and end up in hellfire. That's what I wrote. Deny the supernatural and end up in hellfire. This is a supernatural book. We worship a supernatural God. He does supernatural things. Guess what? You can't understand the things that God does. They're bigger than you. Supernatural. You got to believe that death is not the end. If you confess with your mouth, that again, that means to agree with God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. That is, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. Now, Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father and his angels, which are in heaven. That's how we do baptisms here. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and he's my Lord. And that is this verse being fulfilled. With the heart you believe unto righteousness. The word righteous, that big word, is a legal word. That means that God takes his gavel, he slams down that gavel, and officially, in a court of law, declares you not guilty of everything you've ever done. And there's no double jeopardy. You don't get tried again if you have a bad day tomorrow. It's once and for all. Forgiven of all the sins you've committed. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And that enables you to open thine mouth and make that proclamation in front of people. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. You can say it here at the end of the service. You can say it right now. Hallelujah. Everyone should say that. Let's try that. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is my Lord. We could just go home after that. I didn't know that's where we were going to go this morning. It's great. Where can I go from here? Number seven. That was number six, right? You guys got me discombobulated. But awful darn happy, I'll tell you. Number seven. Jesus Christ is the only access to God and to heaven. Here's three scriptures. The first one is John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to get to God, the Father. There's only one way to have access to heaven, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not two ways, there's only one. John 10:9 said, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. I don't even have that one written down. What I have for number two is this, Romans 5:2. Through him, that's Jesus, through him we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I love that one. It's like getting a little theater ticket, you know, with your name on it. But you can't give it away, Jim. You can't give it to your son. You can't give it to your friend. You can't give it to your daughter that you wish was part of the faith. It's for you and you alone. It's non-transferable to you. You have access by faith. That is, I'm going to believe it. I don't see it, but I'm going to believe it. I believe he died for me. I don't see it. I believe there's more to this life than living and dying, though. I don't see it. I believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe when I die, angels are going to come and take my spirit away and usher me up, and I'm going to see Jesus finally face to face. I believe it. But I don't see it. Last scripture verse. I just stumbled into this one this morning. Acts 4:12. It says, there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's no other name. Only the name of Jesus, that's the only name, that's the only way, is the name and the person of Jesus Christ. Okay. You guys thought we were done. Now comes the fun part. Can you take any one of these and not believe and say that you're in right standing with God? Any one of these. Can you deny or not believe in any one of these and be right with God? Let's try it. Number one, don't believe in the virgin birth. Can you be saved? If Christ is all that you think he is, you certainly can't. And think about it. If you're right, you're wrong. If you're right, then you're wrong. And you wasted your whole time. Don't believe he lived a sinless life. Can you be saved? No. Then his sacrifice was worthless. And his blood is tainted. And it's no better than yours or mine. It's precious to God, but it can't redeem anyone. It can't be an acceptable sacrifice in the eyes of God. A sinner cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. Or another God that has blood. I can't think of any. Only one, and that's Jesus. Don't believe Jesus Christ or the Messiah came in the flesh. Can you be saved? How could you? John the Apostle says you've been infected by the spirit of Frankenstein. How can you be saved? Don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Can you be saved? So let me get this right. The demons believe and you don't. That makes you lower than a demon in the belief business. Jesus told Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." You see, revealed what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Don't believe Jesus died on the cross. Can you be saved? Cross, stake, like the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Big deal no matter what it was. Why they make such a big deal about it? What's the difference? This is all that matters. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Now, you can make this tree whatever you want. You can put up red and green ornaments if you want. You can put three or four stakes on it. You can make it that way. You can make it this way. All I know is that the Son of God died on it and shed his blood on it, and that his death was sufficient enough for God to take his gavel, look at Paul Esposito, and say, "Come on in, son." What it looked like, I don't care what it looked like. Makes no difference to me. All I know is that God died on it. He gave up his blood on it. Why argue over what it looked like? That's stupid. Don't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. Can you be saved? This doctrine is the core doctrine of the Christian faith, that after we die, we have hope. We've got hope. There's more to this evil world than living and dying. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't have God. You've missed the entire point. Deny the supernatural and you don't pass go. Lastly, you don't believe Jesus Christ is the only access to God and to heaven. Can you be saved? Let me put it this way. If you believe like Oprah or Larry King and all the others, that there is another way to heaven, and if you're right, then God was wrong. You see, and God overlooked the fact that there was another way, but he failed to realize it. And to that, I would have to take my hat off to you. That is, you figured out a way that God couldn't, right? God says there's one way, it's through his son. But Oprah gets on TV and she goes, no, there's two ways. So that means that you, madam, thought of something that God couldn't think of. Adrian Rogers says, he said, I'd hate to run into that God in a dark alley who would let his son die naked on a cross like that where you didn't have to because your pal found another way to get up into heaven. We need to call those people down there in Melbourne, two men in a truck. We need to go deliver your throne up to heaven. You need your own throne. You thought of something God couldn't think of. You're definitely as worthy, of your own throne for that. There is one way. You've got to believe that. And if that's where you stand, that you believe that there is another way to get to heaven other than the Son of God? Do you really think that God made the mistake that Jesus didn't have to die, but he did? There's no other way around that. You never hear him logic used that way, but there's no other way. If you thought of another way, then God couldn't think of it, and he let his son die on the cross like that. And that is where everyone in the universe is wrong, but God is right. Because Blood is required to pay for your sins. There's only one way. Blood. Okay, now we're going to close today with this. The rest of this verse here in 2 John. It says, whoever... I want to look at verse 10, the next verse. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now the verse continues. He who abides, that's he who believes in these things we just looked at, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has, this one, has both the Father and the Son. All right, we're good with that, right? We believe in all things on Pastor Paul's list. Because A, it's the word of God, and B, I've proved it to you, the consequences of not believing, right? Fair enough? Verse 10. Now, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, now bring the Greek word pharaoh, P-H-E-R-O, it means to carry from one place to another, sort of like your Bible. So if anyone, and now in these days, there were traveling ministers brought their Bible with them or their scriptures, whatever they had. And Christians would put up preachers when they came into town because there was no light on at the Motel 6. They didn't have Motel 6 until the year 87, I think. Thank you. They would live with, they'd stay with these other Christians. So this is what his warning is. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, that is what we just looked at. If anyone comes to you and doesn't believe in this list of what we just looked at, receive it. Do not receive him into your house, neither bid him something I used to hear when the space shuttle used to launch around here. I haven't heard it since then. Godspeed. If anyone comes unto you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he who bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Wow. Now there's some tough love from the apostle love.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only 5-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout.